Hey, patrons. Veronica's here and she has a special message. Right, Veronica?
Eat your veggies, kids.
That's right. It's important. Get your vitamins.
It's true. I've been missing out. All I do is a kale blended with strawberries, and I drink that whole thing in the morning.
That's not bad. I mean,
it is. But
I subscribe to a smoothie subscription service.
Oh.
Wait, how does that work?
Is they it just disrupting smoothies?
What they do they send do? You smoothies every week.
Is it different people making the smoothies in their house, like Uber for smoothies?
No. So they send it to you in a box with dry ice, and then all the dry ice evaporates away.
That's it.
Okay. So you subscribe to the smoothie service, and you pick how many smoothies you want in a week, and I get 6 smoothies. And then every Tuesday, a box comes to my house, and it has 6 smoothie cups in it with little caps and a dry ice in plastic.
So they're already blended?
They're not blended.
Okay.
All the fruits and veggies are flash frozen.
Inside. Like, so all you have to do is blend container. What's in the cup.
You just dump the cup into the blender.
Got it.
Add your liquid of choice and then blend it up. And then you put it back in the cup and then you drink it and you stick a straw in it.
I was really puzzled how you were going to keep it a decent consistency.
Wait, how much? Do you mind me asking how much a week that runs out to?
I don't mind. It is $50 for 6 smoothies.
So almost
$10. Cheaper than Jamba Juice.
Almost $10 a smoothie.
I was paying some $12 to $14 a smoothie at my gym.
What?
Yeah.
I don't buy smoothies, so I have expensive. That sounds ridiculous to me. But
I sounds like it's kind of weird. I don't. Does it have like yogurt or like some other base?
They're all vegan.
So, like, all I do is I throw kale, strawberries into my magic bullet, which I spent like $80 on, and I add half of it with water and half of it with cherry juice. Because I need the cherry for my gout, and I blend it. And I actually throw in like 3 frozen strawberries to act as an agitator to grind everything up. So I just drink that.
You know, politically disruptive strawberries, little protest signs.
Well, agitator. Yeah. So yes, it sounds like a lot of money, but listen, I can't eat breakfast. Like I hate breakfast.
Reduces
breakfast
cognitive load. What?
How do you hate breakfast?
I hate eating in the morning. Like I'll eat like at like 11. But like if I need to like get food in my body like in the morning, it has to be like for some reason it has to be cold. I can't eat like I'm weird. I get a different smoothie every day.
I like how you're so happy about it. It's great.
It's really like it's really kind of changed my whole outlook in the morning. And it's all healthy. Like I had one today that was black cherry and kale and like all sorts of other stuff. They put zucchini in it. Which is like, I hate zucchini, but when it's in a smoothie, it's delicious. They do overnight oats.
It reduces the cognitive load because you very quickly get like, take a cup, pour in blender, press blender, pour back in cup, drink.
Add almond milk, add coconut water, whatever.
Add your liquid, right, of course. Yeah. But yeah.
And they're really healthy and they're super low calorie and they feel good and they taste delicious.
Don't you want the calories? Not to say like because you need the calories to burn.
Yeah, it's like I mean the liquid is usually what gives it the calories. So like I usually use whole milk.
I see.
Or almond milk.
Almond milk.
But like there's peanut butter ones. There's like they have these sundaes, so you can actually have like a sundae smoothie.
Isn't that just an ice cream?
It's basically just like a runny ice cream.
Because
but it's also vegan.
What I'm doing though isn't much more cognitive load than what you're doing.
Except I can have a different smoothie every day and not have to think about buying.
You get
all
variety
the things.
And you get you probably get better taste overall. Because I'm scooping out homemade muesli. So I make the muesli myself. That's a higher cognitive load, but it's once every couple months. Mm-hmm. And I can vary the ingredients at that point. But then what I do is, I mean, I scoop out a little muesli, I pour some kefir on it, boom, done.
Yeah. I used to make the same yogurt dish every day, and I just got sick of it.
Yeah.
And when I didn't want to eat that anymore, I didn't have anything else.
So wait, all you do for breakfast is smoothies?
That's right.
Like, because what I do is I do 3 different things. It's either toast, with scrambled eggs that I nuke in a glass cup because I'm really bad about cooking in a pan I hate washing dishes. Or I do yogurt and I throw cereal on it.
Sure. Okay.
But not healthy cereal. I take Fruit Loops and stuff.
Eileen does granola.
Or I do the shake thing with the kale, the strawberries, the frozen strawberries, the cherry juice, and the water.
Yeah.
Oh, and then maybe a quesadilla where I just take a tortilla and nuke cheddar cheese.
See, that's where you get yourself in trouble right there.
Why? Mm-hmm. How do I get myself in trouble?
Because now you've just loaded in all the fat and
but I need
grease.
It.
You say that. You say that.
So let me give examples of some of the smoothies that I have
All right, you got 1 minute.
That I have in my day-to-day. I have 1 minute. Okay. So like this week, hold on, it's loading. The internet's being slow. I had acai and cherry. Mm-hmm. I had apple and greens. Mm-hmm. I had cacao and avocado. Mm-hmm. This is actually what's coming next week. This is coming tomorrow. Carrot and coconut soup. Same theory. I just heat it in the microwave.
Soup?
For lunch. And then I have a coffee crunch sundae.
Mm-hmm. That's like a dessert.
Yeah.
So they're not even all smoothies.
They're not all smoothies. They do overnight oats. They do soups. They do sundaes. And there's a cold brew and almond one. It's like you soak it overnight. So you put all the things in the cup and you fill it with water.
We'll talk food again in a half hour.
Okay. Right.
Shall we begin the tech news?
Let's.
Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. We cannot thank you enough. If you want to know more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, September 25th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, and she is Veronica Belmont. Hi, Veronica.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, says our producer, Roger Chang, who's also here.
Hello. It is a Monday, isn't it? I feel warm, so maybe I'm pleasant. It's a pleasant Monday.
It's a warm, pleasant Monday. That's going to let us start with a few tech things you should know. Instagram announced it now has 800 million monthly active users, up 100 million since April. It also has reached 500 million daily active users, and time spent viewing video is up 80% year over year.
I just wish Instagram would take Bitmoji away from Snapchat, and then it would be the perfect app. That's all I need is
just watch them by Snapchat.
The Fitbit Ionic smartwatch will go on sale October 1st for $299.95, along with the Fitbit Flyer headphones for $129.95. The Fitbit Ionic was announced in August and runs the Pebble-like Fitbit OS.
Yep, this is what Pebble fans are getting in place of Pebble. Now that Fitbit owns Pebble. Here's some more top stories at Microsoft Ignite. Microsoft did not set anything on fire. I was very disappointed, as I am every year. Microsoft announced its Slack competitor Teams will start getting a bunch of calling features. Support for calls to and from phone numbers. Support for voicemail. Call holding. Transfers. If you're like, hey, isn't that what Skype for Business is for? Well, they're going to phase out Skype for Business. Not Skype. Regular Skype stays. Skype for Business is just going to be rolled into Teams. Although, just to keep it confusing, Skype for Business Server, which is kind of a PBX replacement, will launch a new version in 2018. So that's not going away yet. Microsoft also added new plans to its Microsoft 365 service. That's the one that's more than just Office. So they had Business, they have Enterprise, now they have Education, as well as F1 for Formula One drivers. No, it's for first line workers. LinkedIn will start integrating with Office 365, so you can keep your contacts through LinkedIn synced up with Office, and SQL Server 2017 is going to run on Linux.
Big vote of confidence in Microsoft Teams, that's for sure. I mean, it made sense. The products were a little bit too similar. So rolling it all together is absolutely, I think, the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this all makes much more sense to me on the Skype for Business side to say, like, hey, Teams is your organizational chat area, communication area. Why not have it work with phones? That sounds pretty amazing. On the other hand, that whiplash I just got of, wait, it was, what did I can't even remember what it used to be called. before it was Skype for Business, but it was the old product before they owned Skype. No, not Yammer.
Not Yammer?
No, it was the voice product. Anyway, I'm blanking on it right now, but it was something they owned before they bought Skype. Then they bought Skype and they're like, well, this will just be Skype for Business. And now they're like, well, you know what? We're just getting rid of Link. Thank you, Captain Jack. Link, L-Y-N-C.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so this is kind of I think the writing was on the wall for Link from the moment they bought Skype. But Teams kind of came in and made them change course. I think they were going to move Skype for Business to be one Skype. And instead they've been like, wait a minute, I've got a better idea.
We'll
shove it all into Teams. So I don't know what that means for the rest of us who use Skype.
Yeah, I don't know what the future of Skype looks like. Yeah. I mean, it's we'll see. Microsoft also announced a quantum programming language integrated into Visual Studio to make it easier for developers to code for quantum computers. It can run in a quantum computer simulator, either locally, if the system has 32 gigabytes of RAM, or in the cloud on Azure. A preview of the language and simulator will be released by the end of the year.
Now, this is super early days for this kind of thing, but it is, I think, a good idea for Microsoft to get the jump on this and say, we're just now getting a few quantum computers, non-D-Wave. D-Wave kind of does it differently, where you will need to know an entirely different way of programming, and that's going to be hard for you as a developer to adjust to. So let's make a programming language that works the way you're used to that will help you take advantage of that. And they're doing it early enough that they will be one of the options that has been around for a while and maybe got the kinks worked out by the time this might become more commonplace.
Did they say what the name of it is?
No. It's just a quantum programming language. They haven't named it yet.
Okay.
Do you have an idea what they should name it?
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not quick on my feet enough Monday.
I think it would be great as Microsoft Visual Quantum Programming Language.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a keeper.
That's what I think. Intel announced new 8th generation Coffee Lake chips. These are the ones for desktops. We already got the laptops ones. These will arrive October 5th. 2 Core i5 and Core i7 chips now have 6 cores. You used to have to pay a pretty penny for the 6 cores. But now you can get them right there in Coffee Lake. And the Core i3 chips now all have 4 cores. Chips are more affordable than the previous 6-core chips in those ENX series high-end lines. But Coffee Lake is more expensive than the equivalent 7th generation Kaby Lake parts. So, for example, the i7-8700K, which has 6 cores, will cost you $359, whereas the i7-7700K, the top of the line of Kaby Lake, cost you $305. So, you're talking $30, $50, depending on the part, of a price increase, which doesn't always happen when they go from generation to generation. Intel claims Coffee Lake offers up to 25% more frames per second in games and 45% more performance during what they call mega tasking. That's more than just multitasking. All parts featured integrated GPUs, and Intel also decided to throw down against AMD with the Core i9-7960X. This is one of those high-end processors. It has 16 cores, 32 threads, also arriving October 5th. It costs $1,700, but it's meant to take on AMD's Threadripper 1950X.
I will at least say that I really like the name Coffee Lake. I don't know what it means. I would like to be in a coffee lake. I still don't know what Kaby Lake means. But I like the name very much, Threadripper.
They name these after actual places.
Is there a coffee lake? I'd like to go to there.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. That's usually where these are. So
potentially.
Yeah.
Apple's High Sierra macOS arrives Monday for free. It includes the new Apple file system for faster and more secure performance on solid-state drives. It also supports high-efficiency video coding for better playback. The Photos app got a makeover, Siri will supposedly be improved, and Safari got new ad tracking mitigation and automatic pausing of autoplay video. There's also support for VR headsets like the Vive and external GPUs. Also, the Electric Light Company noted Sunday that High Sierra seems to check your firmware and notify you if it detects a change. Users can ignore the notice or have it sent to Apple, though it's unclear what really happens at that point.
Yeah, so some people thought, oh, it's a way to sniff out Hackintosh users, but if you're using a Hackintosh, you just say, no, don't tell anybody. I know the firmware don't match. So it doesn't seem to be for that. It does seem to be to track down malware, but it's unclear how that happens or what happens.
What happens if it finds it.
Otherwise, macOS High Sierra seems fine. I had no problems with my install. It went fairly quickly as these things go. It took about 40 minutes. And rebooted, everything worked fine. I didn't have any programming mismatches, which they didn't change a lot forward facing. You're not going to see a lot of differences. Like you say, Siri's voice will be a little nicer now and stuff like that. But they changed the Apple file system, and I've got the solid state drive. So I definitely got the new Apple file system, which I was a little nervous about. Like, that's the kind of thing that can cause havoc.
Exactly.
And it didn't yet. So
that's good.
Are you going to make the leap? It's free.
Yeah, absolutely. I just haven't got, I mean, my computer though is so old at this point. I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause this machine I'm streaming on, I have not put Sierra on because I don't want to mess with it.
Let me know how it works out so I can figure out if it's going to break anything on my laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
You want me to be the tester here? All right. Yeah, I'm running. I've got a late 2013 MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost 4 years old at this point. Like, yeah, for a Mac, that's getting up there in age, you guys.
Yeah, it is. I'll be curious how that works. And I have this old Mac Mini that's not... If anything, it might be around the same age, if not just like 6 months newer. I don't know. It went so well on the solid state drive, but this is a hybrid drive. So your mileage may vary with different parts. But so far, it does seem like High Sierra is getting very good reviews, generally speaking, as being a maybe not splashy as far as, user interface things or new features, but solid and kind of laying the groundwork for future updates.
I'm actually impressed my laptop has made it this far. It's holding up very well, I'd say, overall, knock on wood.
Finally, 2 years after its first announcement, Project Jacquard, it was named after a loom, if you're wondering why it's called Jacquard, the Levi's denim jacket with a touch-sensitive sleeve from Google is going on sale. It starts in boutique stores on September 27th, and then it'll be available from Levi's.com in October for $350. So more expensive than you'd pay for your general off-the-rack denim jacket, but less than your like really high-end boutique jacket, I am told. The jacket has capacitive threads woven into the material that connect to a Bluetooth dongle in the left cuff. That allows you to control an Android or iOS phone by touching the sleeve. So you can swipe right or left, like skip your music. You can double tap, play and pause. And it can control other things as well. There's even sort of a long touch where you just hold your hand on the sleeve and it just stops your phone from doing anything.
What happens if you start like itching furiously, scratching furiously? What does that do?
They recommend itching under the sleeve separate. Okay. No, I don't know. I just made that up. I wouldn't itch on that side, or you'll be shuffling through your entire music catalog and sending text messages to your mother. Do you want this? I mean, first of all, look at the picture and tell me if you think it's a $350 fashion item. And then tell me if you want this for when you're riding your bike or you're driving around on your motorcycle, which I know you have.
Both of those things. I definitely do both of those things. I don't want it. I don't need it. It just seems like, I don't know.
Dieter Bohn makes it look
cute.
Good, but.
It's cute. It's fine. It's nice. It's a cool use of a proof of concept of this technology working in the real world. But does it make anything that much easier for me to do? No, not really.
I have to say, if I rode around on a motorcycle or a bicycle a lot, I might want this. Like, it looks nice. Mm-hmm. It is a little expensive. That's the big negative. But I definitely, when I have ridden my bicycle, I don't have a motorcycle, but when I've ridden my bicycle with the phone on, it is a pain. Even if I have like AirPods in or something to like take your hand off, having it be in front of you or you can just like quickly skip or something like that seems really, really handy. I want it to cost like $20 like, or $20 extra over what I would normally pay for a jacket.
Yeah. Like if you could get it as an add-on to a jacket you already wanted, like that'd be pretty cool.
Which I know you can't because it's woven in, so it has to be part of the jacket. But
what if it was like one of those old iron-on patches?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, used to have a lot of those.
Yeah, that'll be cool. The Project Jacquard patch that will come out in like 2 years.
Right. Well, you could put it on like your professor's blazer by the elbows, and then anytime he's touching his elbows, you know he's just messing with his phone.
Does not sound practical, Roger.
Well, neither.
go into
it. If you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You can get it as a podcast. You can get it on the Anchor app. Download the Anchor app and get it there. And it is broken on Amazon Echo, and Amazon won't talk to us. So hopefully we'll figure it out soon and get it back on the Amazon Echo. That is a look at the top stories. Me too. Apple has switched from Bing back to Google as the search engine that powers Siri. So when Siri doesn't know what you're asking about and does a web search, which is 90% of the time when I talk to her, it'll show Google results now instead of Bing results. Searches inside iOS when that shows possible relevant websites will now be powered by Google, not Bing. And Spotlight on macOS is switching from Bing to Google. Video searches will now come from YouTube. The only thing staying on Bing, and there is one thing staying on Bing, is image search. Because image search on Bing is really good. In a statement, Apple said switching to Google as the web search provider for Siri, search within iOS, and Spotlight on Mac will allow these services to have a consistent web search experience with the default in Safari. So they're saying when you're in Safari and you're searching on something, you're getting a set of Google results. Now when you search anywhere else in the iOS or macOS ecosystem, you'll get those same results, except if you're searching for images. So apparently consistency doesn't matter if you're searching for images. All the results are from the API, so you're not going to get ads. There is the chance that if you click out that you'll get ads, but in the interface you won't get any ads and you won't get tracked either. Microsoft, for its part, pointed out that Bing powers more than a third of search volume on the PC in the United States, that it's growing worldwide. It still has its partnerships with Yahoo, AOL, and Amazon. It provides the multilingual abilities of Twitter. And this is, I think, the telling part. It's really banking on AI for Bing in the future, because Microsoft is investing a lot of research into AI.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this when I saw this posting, I was like, okay, this makes sense from a user perspective. I've always been rather confused as to why my search results were coming back from Bing, mostly because Google is the preferred one I would like to use, and also because that experience feels inconsistent from the rest of the Mac platforms. I'm still a little bit confused. Is Bing's image search really that much better? I guess I don't know enough about it to make that case. But I guess if they must have done extensive Q&A on this and figured that people really just want to have the Google experience on their device, or maybe the rest of their stuff is tied into it too, and it just feels right.
My guess is that consistency does play a part in it. That some people were confused that. I did a search over here and I got this, but then when I asked Siri, I get that. Why is that? Is Siri being dumb? So that makes sense. Image search would be less obvious for that sort of thing, I think, and less frequent. People do image searches less frequently, and so
let people decide what service they want to use set as a default.
Exactly, because that's what bothers me about this is, even though it was a little weird to see Bing searches on Siri, it kind of comforted me. To say, oh, well, at least one company isn't dominating everything, right? This is where I'm getting another perspective, and I like that. That's good. Now it feels like, uh-oh, we're going back to a monoculture. We're going back to Google dominating everything, which is getting it in huge trouble in Europe. And I really, really would like to be able to choose for myself. I mean, if we all choose Google, which maybe we will, that's fine. But you're not letting me choose. And that, right. I 100% agree with you. I want to be able to put DuckDuckGo in there if I want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of baffling to me why they don't just let you do that, though. There must be something having to do with the way that Siri's programmed that requires some kind of consistent results. I don't really know. But I also find it interesting that we're seeing, again, this schism between, the Apple, Google, and the Amazon, Microsoft. It's almost like location now too. It's like Pacific Northwest versus Silicon Valley. Microsoft and Amazon are partnering on a lot of things, and Google and Apple had kind of been staying out of that partnership. And now it seems like the Apple Google partnership is tightening in some ways. I'm sure you could pull examples from any number of places to prove me wrong, but that just feels like this weird going trend.
I wonder if there isn't some very distant background influence that way, where Apple and Google people just mingle more in person because they're in the same place, you know. It's, and it's not like Microsoft doesn't have a Silicon Valley presence, and Google and and Apple certainly have Pacific Northwest presences. But the majority, I wonder if that does have some. I would imagine it's a small influence, not the determinative influence, but it might kind of push people that way. At the same time, is there anything for searching other than Google now? Like, if granted, Bing still has a large percentage. They say they have a third of the PC search market. PC search market is, of course, declining. Everybody's doing their search on mobile. I mean, so usually when this happens, that's either two things. Either you get a bloated and innovation-resistant monopoly like you did with cable TV, or a new version of this comes up where you're like, well, we're not going to do a search engine. We're going to do this, which is better. And the edifice starts to crumble away. So, and that's like Hulu and Netflix to cable TV, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything where people are saying, you know what? I do all my searching on Amazon anyway, because when I search for shopping, I don't go to Google. I do all my searching in Facebook. I don't go to Google. Is that a possibility? Is that where we go next?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is more, it's about who maybe has the best voice solution, who has the best interactions. Mm-hmm. You know, if search is moving to voice, if search is moving for devices in the home, the way, you know, with Google Home and the Amazon Alexa, and the Echo.
Cancel.
All these other devices. I mean, whoever makes the best use of their technology could be the winner in that category. And just because Google has overwhelmingly been successful on the web doesn't necessarily mean it's going to win the in-home device category potentially. So, but at the same time on the web, I mean, they just have 20 years worth of data to work across, and their search results just keep getting better and better. So it's hard to make a case that something could come to the web and really beat them out, unless it was something that we haven't even thought of yet, or it's something that is more AI related. But even in that case, Google would still have the upper hand, I think, in many regards because of that data set.
I think voice assistants are the most likely mantle holder for search, where people say, oh, I don't use a search engine anymore. I just ask my voice assistant.
Yeah.
And Microsoft definitely has a really solid entry in Cortana. It just doesn't have the platform tie-in.
Right.
So when you talk about Amazon, you talk about it because it's on the Echo. When you talk about Google, you talk about it because it's built into Android. When you talk about Siri, it's built into iOS. And again, no choice. You don't get to say, you know what? I'd like to use Google on my iOS device, or I'd like to use Cortana. I mean,
actually with the Amazon Microsoft partnership, that is something that will happen soon.
Between
the Amazon Cortana side.
So we get a little bit of version of that.
There's a little bit of that. So I'm wondering, like, what is this going to look like? Well, do we see a world where Siri could live on Google Home? Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, stranger things have happened, right? Microsoft Office came to Mac. So there you go. Hey, thanks to all those who participate in our subreddit, submit stories, and vote on them. It really helps us out. And you can go do it too at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. I was messing around with the Essential Phones 360 camera today. If you'd like to see a 360-degree view of the studio, you could check that and a couple other photos out at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Our thing of the day comes from a very excited new laptop owner, Mike, in ridiculously hot Muscat. Said, I've been so unbelievably happy with my computer, I wanted to write in to recommend it as the pick of the day. My new hotness is the HP Spectre X2. I was a dedicated Surface user and was one of the folks chomping at the bit for a Surface 4 replacement. Not only was I underwhelmed by the latest version, I was downright offended by the price. My X2 is running an i7, has 512 gigs on board of storage, 8 gigs of RAM, micro SD expansion, 2 USB-C ports, and comes with a keyboard and stylus. It's insanely light and feels roughly the same weight as a 12-inch iPad Pro. I mostly use it for note-taking in Arabic, so a responsive, accurate stylus is key for me. A similarly spec Surface would have set me back at least $1,000 more. After I bought the keyboard cover and stylus, I'm surprised there aren't more Surface-like PCs out there undercutting Microsoft and out-designing the meh gray tablet. Been using my X2 for about a month now, so I've lived and traveled with it enough to confidently say it is a more than adequate Surface replacement and would easily recommend it over the current Surface model, regardless of the price difference. Thanks for always having a great show. And with the addition of Sarah, I'm planning on upping my Patreon contribution as soon as my raise comes through. Oh, well, thank you, Mike. appreciate that. Yeah. So there you go. One man's opinion on the Spectre X2. Send your picks to us, folks. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. You can find more picks at dailytechnewsshow.com/picks. James in unseasonably warm Wisconsin wrote in and was listening to episode 3122 on my way to the office this morning, and something came to mind during your discussion of Walmart's delivery concept. First, I had the same initial reaction as all of you, mostly unease, distrust, and an overwhelming sense of why would I want this? This is regarding Walmart using Deliv to deliver groceries from Walmart into your house when you're not home, partnering with the August Lock so you can give a one-time access. You hit on a few things that I think could combine to make a service I, and I suspect many others, would pay for, says James. So I want to see what you think of this, Veronica. Tangentially, I think the comfort level of wealthy individuals letting people in their home might be related to how little impact that anything untoward happening would have on their overall wealth versus someone of moderate income who had to skimp a bit to get that new Apple TV the delivery guy just pocketed, not to mention the outsized impact it would have on a daily routine and the cost of time in resolving the issue. That said, if you alluded to a certain section of the population that has some disposable income and a higher desire for convenience being very interested in this, and as with many other things, if a service that previously seemed only attainable by those with substantial income becomes attainable for those with moderate income, there is a certain appeal. So you mentioned housekeeping and even gardening, and for a long time, I've wondered why these services have not been adapted to the gig economy. First off, I think they could, and we are likely on the cusp of seeing that happen, but as much as it would be weird for a stranger to stock my fridge, I would be all for an easily accessible, on-demand, or even easily modifiable subscription to a house cleaning service. But think, if that was already a trusted service entering my home on a regular basis, why couldn't they also stock the fridge and a fresh roll of toilet paper? Seems to me this could work out very well for Walmart or even Amazon, where Dash just took on a whole new meaning for me. So he's saying if people are put off by the idea of strangers coming into their house, even with just a one-time code, what if it was a regular person that you got to know, like a house cleaning service, was combined with the grocery delivery?
Yeah, there is, by the way, a subscription cleaning service called Handy.
So you don't know who you're going to get. They just always send someone.
Yeah, I don't really know. I haven't used it. I've heard it's actually notoriously difficult to cancel. So I never.
That's no good.
No, they just keep showing up at your house, apparently. Yeah.
Darn it! The house is clean again.
I don't feel super comfortable. I mean, we have an August Lock. We have a couple of people have access to that. One is our once a month cleaning person.
Sure.
Who we have had the same person for 6 years. So we definitely know her. And two is the dog walker who we have a couple times a month. And so those two people have their own code that we can revoke at any time. And we know when they enter and leave the house.
So you revoked my code then?
You still have a code. I guess you count as people. Okay. Tom has a code to my house. I just want to come home one day and see Tom like sitting in my living room.
Surprise.
Hi. I think the key really is, I think for most people, I would imagine, would be getting to know the person. I don't know if it has to do with income lines. Not sure.
Most of the people who wrote in saying they didn't like this, it was because they're like, yeah, sure, house cleaning. I know the house cleaner. I get to know them. Right. I get to vet them. I don't know who's coming from Deliv. I don't know that person.
Yeah. I don't know what their vetting process is. I don't know how long that person has worked there. So there's a lot of points of failure in that scenario. And I'd rather at least all the fault be on me if something went wrong rather than, you know, signing up for something willy-nilly and not really knowing what I was going to get.
And finally, Phil wrote in, and just real quick, he has a great email about this that we'll have in the show notes, but there's an article at londonreconnections.com about the entire London taxi Uber conflict that is fantastic. Thank you, Phil, for sending this. It goes through the fact that Uber actually has an operation in Netherlands that licenses an operation in London to operate as an official registered taxi company. So the problem isn't actually with Uber, it's with Uber's subsidiary, which does make a difference when you're talking about the registration with TfL, Transport for London. It also talks about the fact that TfL is not on the side of the cabs Ask any black cab driver in London if they think TfL is on their side, and they'll laugh at you, apparently, according to this article. But it goes in through all the intricacies and what really has been happening and what the real issues are. And of course, Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, today said that he is happy that the CEO of Uber has apologized, and he has instructed Transport for London to make themselves available to meet with them. So it sounds like they might actually be able to work something out where Uber doesn't stop operating in London. But if you're interested in what's really happening in that conflict, go check it out. LondonReconnections.com. We'll have the direct link in the show notes. Thank you, Veronica Belmont, for joining us. Where else can people find your wonderful work online?
You can check out irlpodcast.org. That is the letter I, the letter R, the letter L, podcast.org. We have 7 full episodes of the first season of IRL and more coming very soon.
Absolutely. Go check it out, irlpodcast.org. Huge thanks to those of you who have pushed us over the milestone early. I almost feel like just waiting for the clock to tick so we get to October 1st. Sarah Lane will be joining the show starting next Monday, a week from today, right here with myself and Veronica. And that's because of you. We have more milestones that we're moving towards. And in fact, one of our distant milestones is to take the show on the road more. But that doesn't mean we're going to wait to ever take it on the road. I'm coming to London Monday, October 9th for a meetup and live recording of the show. You can get all the details and sign up to attend at bit.ly/DTNS. London. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Well done. Good show. Covered a lot.
Titles. We have Microsoft did not set anything on fire. Microsoft is a Teams player. No. Tom thinks he's people. Microsoft Ignite fizzles out.
Oh, that's cute. Apple. Tom thinks he's people.
Apple Googles for a better search engine. Veronica's better taste overall. Tom yammers on about Microsoft. Shove it into Could Teams.
Yeah.
Intel's double shot of Coffee Lake. Mm. MS Quantum Programming now with AI.
Where is Coffee Lake?
It's probably at a Dunkin' Donuts. Intel serves Coffee Lake no sugars. Levi's Bluetooth jeans jacket.
Donut Island would be in Coffee Lake.
Lev. Oh, wait. It's just, moved. Whatever. All right. Levi has an Android up its smart sleeve. Scratchy patch. Siri breaks up with Bing.
There's coffee.
Tom thinks these people is to take the squeeze. They might just be coming up with names. And the itch to play, the play just scratch. Leave high tech jacket. Instead of Levi's, it's Levi. Anything tickle your funny bone or fancy?
Swipe your cuff.
Fancy funny bone.
Nothing.
Nope.
Microsoft is a Teams player is kind of funny.
It's good. I like that one too.
How many cores do you want in your coffee?
Apple Google's a better search engine. They're not bad.
I want an apple fritter donut now.
Apple Bing's back to Google. They don't use the Bing and Decide slogan anymore.
Microsoft takes a quantum leap.
Mm. Oh, that's good. That's good. That one. Okay.
That's hopefully the next leap will be the leap back to profitability.
Oh,
we are profitable.
Yeah, they are profitable. You're just being mean. It's,
yeah. So?
Your joke is not relevant.
Neither are your puns, but you keep using
My puns are maybe bad, but always relevant.
Make that a bumper sticker. My puns may be bad, but they're at least irrelevant.
I don't think you know Microsoft well enough to insult them that way. You guys are need to, you know, get to know each other a little more.
I'll take it on advisement.
So, what was the food thing we were... Oh, I was about to tell you about my Tavala meals because you told me about all your smoothies.
Okay.
So, this week, you can get miso glazed salmon with edamame brown rice, charred citrus broccoli, and pickled ginger. Baked butternut squash pasta with pickled butternut squash. Indonesian baked salmon with rice noodles, shiitakes, bok choy, and carrots. Sesame crusted tofu with sesame ginger brown rice and roasted green beans. Lemon garlic roasted chicken with woody herb braised white beans and pickled peppers.
From?
And ropa vieja beef stew with black bean and brown rice pilaf. These are all the convenient meals from Tavala. The ones where you just buy them and then you scan the QR code and bake them. And then they come
out. Oh, in your fancy, in your easy bake oven.
Smart oven. Yeah, my easy bake oven.
Easy bake oven.
It pretty much is like the modern equivalent of an easy bake oven. It's true.
Is it a gas oven or is it electric?
It is electric, but it is also a broiler and a steamer. So it does toast, broil, and steam.
I wonder what the power usage on that is compared to...
Compared to a typical toaster oven? Yeah.
But compared to like a gas oven?
Oh,
like,
it's much less than a gas oven because it's not on for as long. It doesn't need to be preheated or anything. So it has the advantages of a toaster oven in that respect. It's like a toaster oven on steroids that does QR codes. But their meals, I thought the meals, I'm like, the meals are probably going to be crap. But I just wanted to try it out when I bought it. Meals are really good and healthy.
Are they filling?
That's awesome.
Yes, they're filling too. Because they'll have like, they always have a grain, a healthy grain usually. And they always have a protein and vegetables. They're pretty well balanced.
This is the cow. This is the cow, or this is the grass the cow is eating for your vegetables.
They don't do that.
Yeah.
Just tastes good and it's nutritionally balanced. I don't know. So I'm not going to make fun of your smoothies because I order these crazy things.
I didn't make fun of her smoothies. I just found it very interesting that was a business.
I was not accusing you of anything when I said that.
Don't accuse me of anything.
I wasn't accusing anyone of anything. Why am I suddenly in trouble? What did I say?
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do it.
I just need to cook stuff that makes a lot of food that I can eat as leftovers for the next two nights.
Yeah, that's not this. Well, okay. The one thing that I do use the Tavala for, I will buy fish now more often and just put some olive oil, pepper, and salt on it. Maybe some other spices, depending on how I feel. And then you just put it in and it's got a pre-made salmon recipe that works for most similar fish. Like I'd use it for tuna and everything too. And you just like pop it in, pop it out, boom. I cooked salmon in it last night, put the salmon in the freezer, microwaved it today. That was my lunch.
You microwaved fish. It's like the cardinal no-no.
I'm not in a shared office. Also salmon. Salmon's not that bad. Salmon doesn't get as fishy smelling as other stuff.
Not always, Captain Jack.
The taboo against microwaving fish in an office setting is bad for our health. It's reducing our omega-3s.
Can we just get those in pill form?
Somebody needs to come up with a microwave fish smell sucker.
Yeah.
Maybe what they need to do is create a convection oven that's just as fast as a convenient as microwave oven.
Yeah. It still smells, though.
It doesn't smell the same because when you're using a microwave, you're boiling the inside inside out.
That's true. Activated carbon in your microwave, Tidvec suggests. It's sorry, not a vent. A vent would make it worse. A vent sends the smell out.
It's got to suck it up somewhere.
What if you had like a solar oven that was ready to go? So as soon as you stuck anything in, it would just cook at 400 degrees.
I mean, I don't know. It sounds hard.
I just want to replicate it. In Star Trek, where I can tell that, yeah, like, oh, I want a bowl of Cheerios.
I was just watching an episode of Voyager last night, though, and the replicator screwed up and made the coffee first and then the cup, and it just splashed coffee everywhere. So they're not immune to this malfunction.
Okay. Then don't order coffee. That's what I say.
That is heresy where I come from.
You know what? Just give me a bowl of Cheerios and pour in the chocolate milk and I'm set. God, I'm hungry.
You talk about needing to eat healthy.
I talk about needing to eat. Might be couched in the context of health foods.
Yeah, the Orville replicator made hash brownies. That's true.
Do you like that show? I watched like 2 episodes.
I can't decide if I like it or not.
So far, it's just a bunch of like jokes that you would throw in if something happened in Star Trek.
Yeah, the jokes are. It's not, Orville's not that funny to me, but it's also really like a really good nostalgia vehicle because it really feels like a 90s era Trek. Mm.
But like,
I just heard it's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think it's terrible.
I think part of it is if you're like a super Star Trek nerd, you can kind of see all the gags.
There's some funny gags.
I should probably go. I got stuff I gotta get done. Sorry, guys.
Fine. Go.
Thanks.
Sorry.
You can go back to your delicious shakes, smoothies.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
The jokes are bad, though, for the most part. Jokes are what's giving it a bad reputation, I think.
They're intended to be bad.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I didn't realize, but he was Seth MacFarlane was an extra in Star Trek. Not Enterprise. Was he in Enterprise? He was one of the Star Trek spinoffs. He was. I remember seeing him. I was like, holy, that is that Seth MacFarlane? It was him.
Well, let's look that up on IMDb.
Boldly roast, where no man has roasted coffee before. Do, 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 do.
I just hear you breathing now.
I'm sorry. I'm filling in the thing for tomorrow.
I lost my place because you said IMDb and I started to do that.
I didn't say IMDb.
I published the show, so I don't think there's anything else for me to do here. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Hope you have a lovely day, and we will be back tomorrow. And you patrons, you guys... This post show is going to get more rocking because of you, because we got Ms. Sarah Lane joining us next week. Hooray! Talk to you then, or I'll talk to you tomorrow.